And as you grab your Bibles and or your devices, if you would turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, look at chapter 6. And as you're turning there, just a couple things. Let me remind the ministry leaders, if you have not had an opportunity to respond to the emails that have gone out about the Leadership Summit, please do so so that we can count you in attendance. So thank you for that. Also, church family, we have our it'll be my first congregational meeting with you all on the 23rd, and you definitely want to come and hear what the vision is for our church moving forward so that we're all on the same page. It'll be immediately following the service, so that way you can say, ah, now I see. Vision, see, okay, y'all just, it's okay, just went on over, that's okay. Amen. It's still early. Some of y'all didn't make it to Coffee Fellowship. That was a problem. That's, amen. Also, I didn't see Mother Love in the house. If you just raise a roof for me real quick, just, amen. So glad to see them. They, you know, I already like them, but I really started liking them when they answered my phone call. Well, I got quiet now. I said, Pastor, I still ain't called you back. I'm not even going to look in no direction. Oh, bless his name. All right. Are y'all there? Yeah, Matthew 6. Amen. And we're going to take this piece by piece. So we're just going to walk through a very familiar passage, just the Lord's model prayer. But it sets for us indeed a model for how we're to engage God in prayer. And can I pause here to say this? Does everybody believe that prayer is essential? I mean, don't fool me now. Do you believe that we need to always pray? And then my next question is, in your prayers, do you expect to encounter God's presence? Because I often wonder about the believer's prayer life. Because if you're like me, sometimes I wonder even about my own prayer life, and I ask God, would you continue to expose me for when I'm not being at my best in my prayers? Because prayers is about engaging and pursuing God's presence, not just asking him for a bunch of stuff. Don't get rough through here. But what prayer does, it keeps us at our very best. Are y'all with me? I remember a story of two logmen who were out chopping wood. They had worked all day, and one was a little bit younger, had the energy of a young man, chopping down, not taking any breaks, just taking these trees down. The older logger would chop some down, and he would take about a 10-minute break, get back up, chop some more. By the end of the day, the young man looked at his pile, then he looks at the older man's pile, and he realized, wow, how is it that you have twice as many logs as I do? And the older man simply says, he says, well, this is what I learned, young fella, is that when I take these 10-minute breaks, I will sharpen my axe so that I can be at my very best. And it allowed me to take a breather so that I can be at my very best. So while you were chopping along, your axe was getting all dull, I was just continuing to sharpen and getting better and better and better. And prayer is like that. So rather than being so busy with life that sometimes we have to take a break so that God can sharpen us and keep us at our very best. We are not designed to just keep working and keep chopping and keep working and keep chopping and never encounter God's presence. Because I've learned that when we encounter God's presence, he gives us rest and restoration. But if you never slow down long enough to engage God in prayer, then you will never be at your best. You're going to always be tired. You're going to always be weary. You're going to always want to throw in the towel because you can't find the strength to go on. But you learn that when I get to God, I find my strength. And prayer is about us engaging him and him making us better. because we're standing before his presence. And maybe that's the problem. Maybe for some people, you don't realize that you are indeed standing before his presence. And then you miss the opportunity to be made new. Amen? And so when we think about prayer, let me say it like this, and you can write this down. Prayer is about listening and talking. I think we got the talking part down. Don't leave me by myself this morning. We don't mind talking at the Lord. Oh, God, I need this. Oh, God, move in this. Oh, God, touch this situation. Oh, God, would you move in the hospitals? Sending God everywhere. Move in the prisons. God, would you move to my child? We're sending the Lord everywhere, and we ain't willing to go anywhere. Oh, Lord, it's going to be rough through here. So when we talk about prayer, so we're saying it's talking and making space to hear back from God. Because here's the thing, because God desires relationship with us. So if you go all the way back to when God created everything. It was perfect relationship. Sin came in, affected everything. But God still pursued man because he pursues us because he desires relationship with us. And the opposite is true for us. We ought to pursue God because we desire him. Not because we just need something from him. And so we have to start with checking our own heart. Do we really want him or what he can do for us? Oh, Lord, it's going to get quiet through here. Didn't the Bible say we had to ask the Lord? Yes, he did. But that's not the only thing he said about prayer. It's about experiencing his presence. Amen? Here's some scriptures I want you to write down, and I want you to go back and read this in your own time. So when you think about prayer, a lot of things come to mind when we think about prayer. We think about posture is one of the first things we think about. We think about, should I sit? As is written in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 18, is sitting an opportune way for us to encounter God's presence? Should I stand? Write down Mark chapter 11, verse 25. Should I kneel? And many of us don't mind kneeling as long as we got some cushion, right? So I'm going to go down on my knees, but I need to make sure I'm going to be comfortable while I'm down there. And here's some verses for you to write down. It's a lot of scriptures on kneeling. I'm just going to give you a few found in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, Luke 22, verse 41, Acts 7, verse 60, and the list goes on. There are instances, and this is sometimes my favorite posture, face on the ground. By laying prostrate before the presence of the Lord, because you're trying to lower yourself. I mean, it's really the symbolism behind it. It's about trying to lower yourself as much as possible because it's demonstrating how low your heart is in view of how high God is, okay? Because as we come to God, we all come with an humble spirit, all right? Not a sense of feeling privileged, okay? And so sometimes you just lay flat on the ground, and you find that in Matthew 26, verse 39, you see that with Jesus, who's laying prostrate before the presence of the Lord. Then you can pray with lifted hands, found in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. But let me say this, there is no real prescribed way to pray. It's not a prescribed way as far as a posture in prayer. What God wants more than anything else is for you to pray. Are y'all tracking with me? So that means on your knees, standing up, hands up, however you need to, upside down on your head, whatever you need to do. Don't go home and try that, though. I mean, I just, some of y'all trying to figure, like, okay, do I just. When we think about prayer, we also need to ask about the what to pray. So it's about the content. And here's a beautiful thing. Some people wonder too much about how to pray or what to pray. Here's one of the things I'm learning. As you pray, the Holy Spirit makes intercessions for you. So as you make your heart, as you make yourself go to God in his presence and seek him out, and you don't know what to say, guess what? The Lord says, I'll help you with that. Man, God is good. So here's the thing. It's not to say that he doesn't trust us to say the right thing. He just knows that we need help every now and then. Because he doesn't want any excuse for us not to come to him. So even if you don't know what to pray about, he just says, just come and I'll help you. Oh my gosh. So all God is looking for are people who's willing to come to him with themselves. And maybe you just need to start, God, I don't even know where to start. I'm just here because you told me to come. I'm just here. And then God will do some things if you just be willing to say, God, I don't know. You have to ask where to pray. Somebody say everywhere. Let's just put it like this. In private and in public, you need to have a private prayer life and you need to have a public prayer life because we ought to pray together sometimes. Because the Bible says when two or three are gathered together in his name, he will be in the midst. So when we get together as a church family, then guess what? God shows up. Are y'all tracking with me? But then some question, God, when should I pray? Morning, evenings, afternoons, however the Lord moves you. Because I know some people can be very dogmatic and say, no, you just need to pray in the morning. Well, yeah, you can. But I think the idea is that we pursue him at any time, especially when the Lord prompts us to pursue him. Oh, mercy. And here's my favorite. Somebody already asking this question right now. How long should I pray? Oh, it's getting quiet right through this. I got Jesus, I got like 30 seconds. But I think within Scripture, I think there's enough evidence that would suggest there are sometimes you need to labor in prayer for long periods of time. And then there are times you need to have one of those bullet prayers. Are y'all tracking with me? We're studying through the book of Nehemiah on Wednesday, and he prayed for one thing for 4 months. Are y'all with me? He labored in prayer. But then there was a time when he was standing before the king, and he says, what do you need? And he said, help me, Lord. Then he asked. are y'all tracking with me? Because even Peter, if you remember when he was walking on the water, he couldn't get one of those long prayers. Father God in heaven, I just come before you in the name of you because you're standing right here, and I just come knee bent and body bent. No, he was sinking. He was about to drown. And he says, help! And so every now and then, we got to be able to have one of those, I got labor prayers, and then sometimes you got to have one of those bullet quick prayers. So what are we saying? It's not about the quantity of time. It's about the quality of that time. God is looking for people who's willing to have quality time with him. Are y'all tracking with me? So where do we start? Where do we start? First of all, we start with this. We start by asking him to help us to pray. Write down Luke real quick. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. So when the disciples had witnessed the prayer life of their Savior, their master, their Lord, they watched him pray. I want y'all to hear me on this. They watched how Jesus prayed. And their question or their statement was, Lord, teach us to pray. Think about this. They could have asked Jesus for anything. They could have asked Jesus, God, help me be a better preacher. God, help me be a better teacher. Jesus, help me be a better follower. Matter of fact, let me have something to eat right now, Jesus. They could have asked for a number of things, but what did they ask for? Because they saw something in Jesus' prayer life that they need to have in their own prayer life. And so there's twofold I want you to see in that. So they were able to see a prayer life and ask for him to teach them. And I think that ought to give us a lesson on how to teach other people how to pray. That people every now and then need to see us praying. Oh, okay. It got quiet right through here. Okay. As believers, we have to be described as ones who don't mind praying. Amen? In the body of Christ, we ought to always be about prayer Because Jesus says that his house shall be a house of. And I want you to ask yourself this question. Who is seeing me pray? Oh, man. Y'all didn't hear? Mic check, 1, 2. Can y'all hear me over there? Can y'all hear me? Can you? Okay. The question is, who's seeing you pray? Don't point. Yeah, Jesus see you praying, yes. Some of y'all saying, yeah, Jesus, yes, absolutely. But we need to ask, who's around me seeing me pray? And hold on. And if they see me pray, am I praying well enough that they would ask, teach me how to do that? But it starts with our heart. If our heart is not about pursuing the presence of the Lord, then guess what? It's not going to be evident in our life. And so God, and so Jesus teaches them how to pray. So let's look at it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. So he teaches us kind of five things. But as he's setting this up, he's drawing this, he's juxtaposing this to the way you ought not pray. So he tells them how the other Pharisees and Sadducees, how they prayed, and they prayed terrible. They were hypocrites. They wanted to be seen. So run away from those who only pray in public. Because Jesus says, if that's all they want to do, that's their reward. Okay? So if you all been around me long enough, you know if you ask me for prayer, guess what I'm going to do? Pray right there. We're not going to get back to that later. All right? We need to deal with business right now. And anytime prayer is needed, that's business with God. And that means I got to stop my business to engage in his business. But the problem is we want our business too much and not enough about his business. It's going to be rough through there. One of the books that we're studying as a board, we're studying through Tom Rainer's book, The Autopsy of a Deceased Church. And one of the things he talks about is one sign that a church is going to die is if it stops praying. One of the stories that I love is that he had been asking this deacon, he says, can you describe your prayer life? And they began to kind of talk about all these different things they would do for prayer. But then watch this. Then he kept pressing him. And he began to help him to recall their journey to their death. Then he realized at the end of this chapter, he says, we stop praying. And then he says, we stop praying and we stop paying attention to what was happening around us. And as we stop pursuing God and we stop pursuing people, ultimately, it led to our death. All nations, let me tell you, if we stop praying as a church, if we stop pursuing people as a church, let's go ahead and close up right now. Let's stop fooling ourselves. Are y'all hearing me? If we're not pursuing God's presence, we need to stop right now. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? If we're not hungry for God's presence, we need to stop what we're doing right now. It's not going to matter any sermon. There can be the best sermons preached in here. It doesn't matter. If we don't pursue God's presence, none of this is going to matter. It doesn't matter what songs are being sung. It's not going to matter if we don't pursue God's presence. Are y'all with me? So Jesus starts it off. He says, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be like these phony people that always want to be seen. So he says, this is how you do it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The idea here is about elevating God to a proper place. And if we're going to elevate God to a proper place, then that means it ought to be about worship. So prayer is not just about the words, but it's about worshiping God for who he is. So he says, hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name, God. Holy is your presence. So here's what he's teaching us that we got to do. We have to seek God's presence with a worshipful heart. If we're going to seek God in prayer, the first thing we got to do is seek his presence with a worshipful heart. Daniel Henderson, in his book, Fresh Encounter, said this. He says, worship-based prayer begins with and is fueled by God and his character, not our needs. So what moves God in prayer is not because we can ask him for a whole bunch of stuff. What moves the heart of God in our time of prayer is that we worship him for who he is, not for what he can do for us. God doesn't care anything about, let me not say that. Y'all, okay. I almost went there. God cares. But what he cares more about is how much you want him than what he can do for you. That we have to seek God's heart, not just his hands. And I'm afraid that so often people's prayers life is God, I need, God, I want, God, do, God, be, God, all this, rather than saying, God, I'm just here because I need you. God, there is none like you. And so Jesus says, I'm gonna elevate Jesus. I'm gonna elevate God to his proper place. Write this comment down. This is one of my good friends, Bill Eliff, back in Little Rock. He wrote this book called The Presence Centered Church. Watch this. He says, when you're about the presence centered church, he says, everything flows from the presence of the Lord. Everything. So the idea is that if we get in his presence, he can give us everything we need. So therefore, I don't have to come with my laundry list of things. I just need to come before him. And guess what? He's going to give me what I need. Because guess what? He knows what I need before I open my mouth anyway. And so therefore, I don't have to worry about asking for a whole bunch of stuff. God, I'm just here in your presence because of who you are. Hallowed be your name. There is none like you. So Jesus says, if you're going to begin a great prayer life, you got to start with lifting him up right. Are y'all tracking with me? Say it with me. Lift him up. Because what Isaiah teaches us in Isaiah 6 is that he saw the Lord. Remember, he says he saw him where? High and lifted up. Because that's the proper place. And what does he see? He sees angels crying out, holy, 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 because that's what God deserves. He doesn't deserve our complaints. Oh, my. He don't desire our begging. He desires our presence and our desire for him. That's what he wants. Are y'all with me? Can y'all worship him in your prayer life? Amen. But the question that we got to ask, why do we need to lift him up in our prayer? Yes, we know he's worthy. At the same time, I think we need to also lower some stuff too. Because as humans, we have this ability to lift up a whole bunch of other stuff and make idols out of stuff. Because he knows our tendency is to pursue stuff more than we pursue him. So if I say, God, I'm lifting you up, at the same time, I'm lowering myself and stuff I want. Write this comment, and this is by Tim Keller, because idols can come in a lot of different forms, and so this is what he says. An idol is a good thing that becomes an ultimate thing, becomes an idol. He says an idol is a good thing that becomes an ultimate thing, becomes an idol. So there may be some good things in your life, but don't start worshiping those good things. Are y'all tracking with me? So he says, seek his presence first. Everybody say, seek his presence. But then when we look at verse 10, he shows us another principle, is that we got to seek God's priorities over our own. Look what he says. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Where? On earth as it has already been established in heaven. So what we're saying is, God, you matter more than what's happening in my own world, okay? And it says, God, let me align my priorities with yours. Are y'all tracking with me? And so there means, as I come before God, I can't have an agenda already. God, I want you to do this, 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 and the third, and then I'm cool. We cool, God. But no, it's about, God, what do you want to accomplish in my life? Oh, my gosh. It changes the game. And then you have to wait for him. So you can ask God, what do you want me to accomplish in my life? You can ask that, but you got to slow down and say, okay, God. Not that part. But you just wait on God.
You're saying, God, what priorities are you trying to establish in my life? What things are you trying to reshape in my life? And then just wait on him. Y'all scoot up. Don't be afraid of the silence. Don't be afraid when you get silent and you waiting to hear from God. Don't get nervous. Stay right there. Don't hurry, God. God, what do you want to accomplish in my life? And just wait. Tell your neighbor, wait. Tell the other neighbor, wait. Manly Beasley says this. He says, the mark of a godly man and the mark of a godly church is that everything they do is God-initiated. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? If we're saying, God, we want to be about your business, we want to align our priorities with your priorities, that we have to make sure we pursue his heart, and guess what? All that we do then will be initiated by God and not by our selfishness. Because we can start some programs as a church. We can do some stuff. Are y'all with me? We can have some awesome programs, but if it's not God initiated, they won't succeed. So what as a church, as we're before God's presence, as we bow down, then we say, God, we want you to direct us. And guess what? God says, cool. Y'all left me by myself. Well, I mean, God may not literally say cool, so don't be looking for that. I mean, some of y'all say, the Lord say cool? Does he really? No, the idea is that God stands in agreement when he says, God, we're in agreement with your will being done and on earth as it is in heaven. So when we align with him, guess what? He says, I can speak through that. I can navigate that. All right? But if we come with our own agenda, he's saying, I don't want to deal with that mess. And we have some messy places that call themselves churches. You ain't got to say amen. And y'all think in the building, I'm talking about the people. Okay, let me move on. Let's move on, Pastor. Let's move on from that. All right, thirdly, seek God's provision for your daily needs. Look what he says. Give us today our daily bread, verse 11, because he realizes that everything flows from God, even the very basic things. Because, I mean, think about it. Sometimes we come, and there's nothing wrong. Okay, let me press by saying this. There's nothing wrong with asking for big stuff from God. But what Jesus shows us is that you have to trust that God is able to supply your everyday, daily needs. All right? And he's saying, God, thank you for the basic necessities. God, thank you for giving me strength. Thank you for giving me health. God, thank you for providing a meal. God, thank you for gas in my car. Because sometimes we ignore the very basic things that God provides, and we miss saying, God, thank you for just doing the basic things. God, thank you. I didn't deserve it. But because you're good, I got a little gas in the car. Got a little roof over my head. Got a little food in the refrigerator. Even got some in the deep freezer. Oh, bless his name. Some of y'all wave your hands and say, hey. Because God cares about every area of our life, not just the big stuff, but even in the little stuff that we overlook. He cares about every little thing about us. He's concerned about us because he loves us. He's our dad. He loves us. And good daddies don't let us be in lack. Are y'all with me? He takes care of us because he's a good daddy. Say he's a good daddy. Oh, thank you for being a good daddy. And if you ain't got a car, thank you for bus transportation, Jesus. And the bus fare to get on. Okay, y'all just let me. Thank you for my little hoopty, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for my little bike. Some of y'all said, what's a hoopty? Just A to B. Amen. Praise the Lord. As long as I get there. Amen. because God is able to supply all your needs. Everybody say, all my needs. So he's not going to let us go lacking. But the fourth thing he teaches us in prayer, he says, seek God's pardon for your sins. Oh, it's going to get heavy right through here. He says, seek God's pardon for your sins. So he's talking to guys who are following him. I want you to understand that. So why would he tell those who are following him to seek God for forgiveness of their sins? Because even though we have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, that doesn't exempt us from falling from time to time. Okay? That's why we need Jesus to sustain us even as we live for him. Because there are times, he tells us, there's going to be temptations that will come. And even though we've been walking with Jesus, we've been talking with Jesus, we would just fall sometimes. Okay, you ain't got to say amen. I don't care how long you have, I want you to hear me. You have been saved for 30 years. Praise the Lord. You are subject to failing God sometime. In your actions, in your deeds, in your thoughts, in your heart, sometimes you're just going to fall short. And he says, and you got to own that. And you can't just come like, yeah, it's me. You know, we like this, Lord. We cool. And you got sin in your life. And God said, wait a minute. Let's deal with this. Because what is he saying? He says, forgive us our debts or trespasses. Because he doesn't say if it occurs. He said, forgive us of our trespasses as we also have forgiven our debtors. Oh, Jesus. And I think we'd probably been cool if he could have just stopped there, forgive us our debts. But he had to tag on. As we forgive our own debtors. Because he knows that as people, we can struggle forgiving people. We want forgiveness, but we don't always want to give forgiveness. You ain't got to say amen. Because if you want your prayer life to be hindered, don't forgive somebody and think the Lord's going to forgive you. Okay. You ain't got to say amen. It's in the Bible if you hadn't torn it out. Some of y'all take pens and start drawing through. I'm not reading this again. Not today. But notice it starts with me first. Forgive my sins before I start talking about others. Why would we need to ask for forgiveness of our sins? Write down Psalm 66:18. Psalm 66:18. That's what the psalmist says. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, watch this, the Lord would not have listened. If I carry sin in my heart, God won't hear my prayers. So that means we got to deal with this sin issue that we're dealing with before we go to God in prayer, because he ain't going to listen. Are y'all with me? He's not going to listen. Write down this passage, and then I'll leave us alone. Isaiah 59:2. Isaiah 59:2. Peep game. He says, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face, or this is God's face, from you so that he does not hear. So I want you to get the image in your mind. Let's say, as I'm praying to God and I got sin in my life, he said, I don't even want to hear that. Because if I acknowledge the sin in my life, I'm willing to be humble enough to say, God, I've struggled. I've fallen short. Are y'all tracking with me? Then he says, now you can go and ask for forgiveness of those who did you wrong. Oh, Lord. Write down Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5:23-24. Because an unforgiving heart destroys our relationship with God, because he tells us that you can't even offer up a sacrifice if there's an issue between you and a brother. Now, why would he say sacrifice? Well, again, during that time, there was a form of worship. Offering up a sacrifice was a form of worship. So watch this. So you can't even offer up a decent enough worship if you got unforgiveness in your heart. So we're saying worship is a starting place for prayer. You can't even pray through this worship-based prayer if you have this issue against somebody. So he says, this is what you do. When you realize there's an issue, stop what you're doing. Go find them. Fix it. Then come back. Some of us like to hold that unforgiveness way too tight. And you wonder why you're not experiencing and encountering God's presence. Because you still got this issue that you hadn't dealt with. Oh, let me right there. Okay, let me move on. Here's the last thing, and then we'll raise up on out of here. Then watch this. He says, seek God's power to overcome temptation. This is the last thing. Seek God's power to overcome temptation. This is what he says. And lead us not into temptation. But watch this. Deliver us from evil. And some translation says the evil one. The New Living says it like this. And do not let us yield to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Because he knows that in this life, if you are breathing, if you are living, you're going to be tempted by something. You're not that anointed. Just because you feel like you're that anointed, temptation don't just run away from you. If anything, I've learned that because if you keep living, the enemy knows exactly what to use to tempt you. I think he makes his job to find a way. Because here's the thing. Because he couldn't destroy us pre-Jesus, the one thing he can try to do is destroy our character and destroy our witness. So if he can get any one of us to be tempted and to fall into that temptation, guess what's going to happen? They're going to say, see, them church folks ain't all that. They say they love the Lord. He heard they cry. But look at them, just a sinful mess. But we have to be humble enough to know that sometimes, even in our best efforts, we will get tempted sometimes at the wrong time. I mean, it'd be different if temptation says, can I put you on my schedule? I'm just going to show up at this time of the day, this year, this time in your life, then I'll show up. But temptation just shows up. It doesn't give you any warning. It just says, boom, I'm here. And you're like, oh, I almost fell in that one. Or, oh, Lord, I repent because I did fall into that one. And guess what? If we confess our sins, God is faithful. He is just to forgive us. But you have to be willing to say, God, forgive me. I own this. But then also be humble enough to know that you can be tempted. He says, pray that God will keep you from that. And then he closes by saying, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Because he knows all belongs to God. So what does this have to do with us as a church? Well, I'm glad you asked. Over the next few weeks, we're going to really press in and pursue the Lord in prayer. I want to see us as a church family be about pursuing God's presence. It's not going to be how well we perform, I promise you that. It's not about performance. It's about pursuing his presence. And how do we do that? Well, we pray privately. Can we agree to that? We pray privately. I'm going to answer this. No, I'm not going to do that. Okay. Y'all want to know, y'all. y'all, hey, be ashamed of yourselves. Like, put them on speaker. Like and everybody going to be paying attention, like, whose phone was that up there? Just, amen. But no, all jokes aside, yeah, even the baby knew that was funny. She said, yeah, that was kind of funny. But as a church family, I want us to really press in over the next few weeks. And what I mean by that, I want us showing up in a big way on Monday night prayer. If you can't come to Monday night prayer, come to Wednesday night prayer. If you can't come on those days, show up on Saturday Because as a church family, we need to learn to pray together if we want to see God move. Are y'all tracking with me? Can I push us a little harder than that? Because sometimes in our pursuit of God, there's some ways we can express to God how much we desire him more than anything else. And we couple prayer with fasting. Somebody said, wait a minute. Yeah, no, we're going to press in. And since this is kind of towards the end of the year, we're going to do it on the light side. And then at the beginning of the year, we're going to really go for it. Is that cool? Is that cool? But we want to practice well in our fasting. And so starting tomorrow, we're going to pray and fast. I've done this before, and I've seen God move in a supernatural way, and we're going to do it on the light side where everybody can join in. Everybody looking at me? So get your pen and papers ready, because this is how we're going to roll with this. We're going to do this for the next 21 days. Because we're saying we want more of him and less of us. And if we're going to be the church that God needs in this day and age, he needs a church that is passionately pursuing him. And we do that through prayer and fasting. So in the first week, this is what we're going to commit to doing as a church family. We're going to do water-only beverages. All week. Yes. Now, you can still eat your regular meals, but you're going to give up the coffee, the tea, the juice, the Coke, the Mountain Dew. Oh, my Lord. It's getting quiet through here. I start naming folks' drinks. They're like, oh, don't name mine. Now, where's Pops? Is he... He's conveniently out of here. Pops will miss this one. Hey, make sure you get the notes today, okay? But even though, and I know it sounds light, but you'll be surprised how much our body craves other stuff, okay? So we're going to give up all that good stuff that's good to you. The sodas, the coffee, the tea. Everybody say water only for a whole week. Are y'all with me? All right. The next week, the second week, it gets gooder. Yeah. The who? Starting tomorrow. The whole week. Monday through Sunday, then we'll start a new one that next Monday. Through Sunday, then we'll do it again. Make sure y'all put that up there. Monday through Sunday is 1 week. Y'all play too much. Like all of a sudden we forgot what a week. But no, that's but that's what we do. That's what we do, right? And it's no knock. I mean, that's just what we do. All right. So week two. No screens, screens, TV, mobile devices of any sort. Now, the exception to that rule is for those who work on computers. just don't be playing solitaire on the other screen, okay? All right, but here's how we're gonna do this, okay? Just not to scare you too much. We're going to say from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. No screens. So let's just say if we're going to start tomorrow with the no screens, you can use your screens up until 6 p.m. and be done with it until the next morning. Now, for those who are very spiritual, you can shut it down the whole week, all day. However, again, we're trying to give everyone an opportunity to join in, so there's without excuse. Are y'all tracking with me? All right. Then the third week, you need to give up at least one meal each day. So let me qualify this a little bit. For the person who doesn't eat breakfast, that doesn't count. I heard you in the spirit. That's easy. I don't even eat breakfast. Shoot. Shame, shame, shame. But at the same time, as we're joking, this is very serious. This is about pursuing God's presence. And that's why I want to see over the next 3 weeks that we see our place packed for prayer. I want y'all to hear me. This is not about just, we're just going to pray on Sunday morning and be done. No, we're going to pray on Monday. We're going to pray on Wednesday together. We're going to pray on Saturday together. You need to figure out what day you're going to come. I got like 5 amens. Yes, ma'am. Oh, no, once that week is done, then you can move back to drinking your coffees and all that. Yes, thank you for that clarity, yes. So that's just that week. Then the following week, you start a new one. Then the next week, you start a new one. So, yeah, now if you're a super saint, you just keep adding on to it. Because you're saying, God, I really want you. No, I'm kidding. But any way we sacrifice is a comment, a statement to God. God, I really want you more than what I'm giving up. Now, I'm like Pops now. I like my coffee. And last time I fasted coffee, I had a headache for 3 days. Y'all don't hear me. It's about saying, God, I want you and not anything else. You can take everything. God, just don't take your presence from me. Are y'all with me? So as we close in prayer, I want you to be praying. The note I said 21 days. That's 3 weeks. Now, if you want to go week 4, amen. If you would, and we'll just see if we can also try to get this on the website and the Facebook page so that if you didn't get all this, we'll make sure it's available so that, again, you can go home and begin tonight praying that God will give you the strength to endure because, again, you want to see him show up, okay? When we fast and pray, it's about encountering God's presence, okay? Are y'all tracking with me? So as we begin to close this time of prayer, that's what we're going to pray, that God will give us the strength to endure, to experience and to encounter his presence. Are y'all with me? By the way, let's just grab somebody's hand. Just grab somebody's hand as we agree in prayer for these next few weeks that God will move in a supernatural way, that God will show up, that he will stir us up, that he will restore us, that he bring clarity for the direction of this church. That he will give us a heart for pursuing him. In Jesus' name, and every heart said amen.